Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Hardin Cattles on EEI.
So the Patriots, they're on schedule. They're ready to play tomorrow at 1 o'clock against the Denver Broncos. They'll be at the facility today. Melvin Gordon will not be with the Broncos for the game tomorrow, not because of the DUI and the speeding from earlier in the week. He actually has strep throat. Hell of a week for Melvin Gordon, huh? Imagine being Melvin this week. He gets popped for DUI. He gets popped for speeding. Now he's got strep. It's been a rough few 4 or 5 days for Melvin Gordon. So he's not going to be playing tomorrow. And I think the question is, should this game be played tomorrow? And I will get to your phone calls on your thoughts about that. I will also get to your phone calls on what you think the Patriots need to do here. Le'Veon Bell, should they add a tight end, receiver? Your thoughts about the team through the first quarter of the regular season, which I'm going to get to in about 10 to 15 minutes. But I want to address the COVID stuff just for a few minutes here. And I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to preach to you about, this is what everybody should be doing. I've got my own thoughts, right? I've got my own thoughts, and I believe in certain things that we should all be doing, and I believe in trying to get this virus as far away from us as humanly possible and treating this as an infectious disease with some respect. But looking at the NFL, I think there's a lot of people that don't trust the league. And the last phone caller, I forget his name, I apologize to you, but the last phone caller before we paid some bills just talked about this and the idea of the NFL not really being ahead of things here with COVID and, you know, the protocols, and they're not doing enough. I think a lot of people looking at the NFL, they just don't trust the league. And the caller brought up the McCourties. And why should the McCourties trust the NFL? The NFL has never given a crap about the health and safety of the players. They didn't care about the health and safety during CTE. They didn't care about the health and safety of players during all the concussion issues and sweeping a lot of stuff under the rug. They're not worried about health and safety of the players when they have them play on Thursday night. They're not worried about health and safety of the players when they're moving around their schedules and forcing them to play a football game with one day of practice in a work week. They're not worried about the health and safety of the players. And whenever they say that, it's nonsense. And we all know it's nonsense. So there is no trust between the players and the league. I think there's a lack of trust between the fans now and the league. And the lack of trust from the fans is because they see what's going on. They see the fact that the Patriots were forced to get on two planes to fly to Kansas City less than 48 hours after Cam's positive test was announced publicly. Less than 48 hours later, they were told to jump on two planes, fly to Kansas City, and play a football game in that same day, and then fly back. Now, you know, the phone caller brings up telling guys that they can't go out to eat. I don't think you can tell the players not to go out and eat. I think you've got to say to the players, you know, be cautious, have some kind of, you know, self-awareness of who's around you and what you're doing. You can't tell a guy to not go out and eat. The people are going out and eating all the time. You know, you can go out and eat. You can take certain precautions. You know, you don't want to be sharing drinks and going crazy and taking shots, you know, and being within, you know, 2 feet of everybody indoors and all that stuff. All the things that we know, right? So you can't tell them that. But I do think the NFL has swung and missed handling COVID because they have been reactionary. They've been reactionary since day one. And they've had a 7-month window to figure this thing out. They've had a 7-month window to make sure they address all the protocols and the guidelines. I'll give you a simple example. The Kansas City, New England nightmare that happened going back a couple of weeks ago. Many of us were questioning, how could the league ask these teams? Both of them had a positive that weekend. Remember, it wasn't just Cam. It was also Jordan Ta'amu, who is a backup quarterback for the Chiefs. How could the NFL, with two players just getting a positive test, how could the NFL ask one of those two teams to travel and play in the same day and then travel back less than 48 hours after that test was publicly known to be positive? With the incubation period, how could the NFL possibly ask that of a team? And I think it was a formidable question. And I think Belichick would agree with me. You know, Bill Belichick has been steadfast about the virus. You might not believe that COVID-19 is a thing. You might not be afraid of COVID-19. You might be living your life business as usual. Belichick's not. Belichick has addressed several of these things behind closed doors. According to Mike Giardi this week, he's called the NFL several times, asking them what's going on, what needs to be done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Belichick is treating this as a serious issue. We saw him wearing the double mask in Kansas City. So he's treating this seriously, right? But the NFL is telling Belichick to get on a plane with his team to fly to Kansas City and play the game, and they're not going to address the incubation period 2 weeks ago. Now this week, oh, guess what? The NFL comes out with new protocols and guidelines. In those new protocols and guidelines, they respect the incubation period. They tell teams now that they have to respect the incubation period. Why was the NFL so late on that? Why did it take the NFL almost 6 weeks into the season to address something as simple as the incubation period? Those numbers have not drastically changed for months, my friends. The incubation period has always been known. It's a median of 4 to 5 days. It can last in your system from 2 to 14 days. You don't shed the virus likely after 10 days. Those things have been known for months. So why in the world did the NFL not have anything within their protocols and guidelines regarding the incubation period? But just 2 weeks ago, they had the Patriots jump on 2 planes and fly to Kansas City. That shows a lack of awareness. That shows that the league is being reactive and not proactive. The league is not on fire. We all need to step back here, take a shot of this 35,000 feet away and realize and acknowledge and not be disingenuous. The league is not on fire. The league has had one outbreak, and that was in Tennessee. And by the way, I have no idea what in the blue hell the league is doing with Tennessee, because just about a week and a half ago, we heard that the league was going to come down hard on Tennessee, right? They were going to, quote unquote, drop the hammer on the Titans because of the outbreak. They were careless. They were practicing away from the facility when they weren't supposed to be practicing. Something happened in Tennessee, right? When you look across the league, you got 32 teams. You've got one team that has an outbreak. One team. You have a couple of clusters here and there, but you have one team, over 20 positives, one team. And you go to baseball, the Miami Marlins had an outbreak. Why? Because they were careless. The St. Louis Cardinals had an outbreak. Why? Because they were careless. The Titans had an outbreak. Why?
I don't know.
The NFL is not going to try to get to the bottom of this. Roger Goodell tells everybody, hey, listen, here's the thing. The Titans did not willingly violate the protocols. What does that mean? Then why are they the only team that had this kind of an outbreak? 31 teams have not experienced anything like that. The Patriots went through what they had to go through a couple of weeks ago, and they haven't come close. What have they had, four or five positives over the past 2 to 3 weeks? Tennessee had five times as many positive tests as the Patriots did. What does that tell you? I don't know. Listen, circumstantial evidence would tell me that one team took COVID seriously, one team followed the protocols, and one team, I don't know, might not have followed the protocols. But yet we've got Goodell sweeping it under the rug. You want to know why? Because the NFL knows that they haven't set up the teams to succeed. If the teams on an individual basis respect the virus and they follow protocols and they create their own environment to make sure that they're doing everything they can like the Patriots did this past week, spacing out the workout times and all those kinds of things, trying to have minimal people in the all those things, right? If you do that, the chances are you'll be good. If you're able to do that, the chances are you'll be pretty good. But if you leave it up to the NFL and you just, you know, follow along with what the NFL says, you might be in some kind of trouble. So, you know, maybe the NFL is not going to do anything against Tennessee because the NFL knows that they weren't as good as they could have been, which goes back to reactionary stuff. Reacting, like, why don't you have a week 18 right now built into the schedule just in case? Why did you not walk into this season with multiple bye weeks just in case? Every other sports league in this country changed. Every single one. The NBA changed how they do things. The NHL changed. Major League Baseball certainly changed. But the NFL's arrogance and stubbornness just continues to lead them to be reactionary and fly by the seat of their pants when they had 7 months to get ahead of all of this stuff. It's just simply outrageous. It really is outrageous how far behind they've been. So I just think they could have done much, much, much more. On the text line, 37937, the Patriots took two planes to Kansas City on their own accord, not because the league required them to. I understand that. The league forced them to have the game is what I meant. The league forced them to play that game on Monday night. I would have to imagine that, you know, the Patriots players would not have liked to play that game. I would imagine that they would have been against that, right? At least I would think that. I would also raise the point that Belichick asked the NFL if they could give them more locker room space, and the league said no in Kansas City, which to me is just, it's so weird. Again, the league's not on fire. This is not the end of the world scenario. I have no problem with them playing the game tomorrow. All I'm saying is the NFL has not earned the trust of the teams, of the coaches, apparently, with what Belichick has said. Belichick obviously does not trust the NFL with this thing. I think the fans don't trust the league. I think the players don't trust the league. And I think a number of coaches don't trust the league. Let's go to Scott in Weymouth. What's up, Scott?
What's up? Do I sound okay? Because I have you on speaker. Do I sound clear?
You sound fantastic, Scott.
All right, couple quick points in and out, 30 seconds. What a year 2020's been, huh? I'm telling you right now, I've never waited for New Year's Eve more than this year. Get lost, 2020. Now, as for the Patriots' take, always follow the dollar. Anytime, my father taught me this, God rest his soul, anytime you have a question, follow the money, and you'll get to the what you want to talk about. In closing, Belichick, this is the crux of my call. I've never been more sure that he is the reason of the Patriots' success for the past 20 years. You mark my words. He is going to sneak this team into the playoffs. Maybe even a wild card berth, whatever, and perhaps win the Super Bowl. That's all I got. Thank you for the time.
All right, thanks. I appreciate the phone call, Scott. I really do. Have a good weekend, bud. Yeah, 2020 has sucked.
That's the first time he was actually in and out in 30 seconds.
Well, maybe he respects the process. I don't know. So thanks to Scott. He's working on things, right? He's working on all of these things, Brian. He's getting better as we go. His Belichick point is, you know, it's a good one. It's a good one given the circumstances. I actually want to get into that coming up next. I want to talk about Belichick. I want to talk about this team because we're a quarter of the way through the Pats regular season. A quarter of the way through the regular season. I'm going to give you my thoughts on where they're at. I also want your thoughts. 617-779-7937. The text line is 37937. Are they ahead? Are they better than what you thought they would be? I want your thoughts on where this Patriots team is as they get ready to play their fifth game tomorrow against the Denver Broncos. We'll talk about that coming up next on Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Saturday calls for more sports talk, and we got it for you right here. Back to Hart and Cattle on EEI.
And I want your thoughts on this Patriots season so far. This Patriots season through the first quarter mark. Obviously, game five officially tomorrow. As long as there's no more positive tests, I would think this game goes off. I don't have an issue with them playing tomorrow, given the circumstances. Everything we've talked about today. So it looks like they'll be playing tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Keep those fingers crossed. But I do want your thoughts. I don't want to call it a report card. I don't want a grade. By the way, before I move on, I do want to thank Dice Coda, at Dice Coda, at Nick C Radio on Twitter. I came up with the name of Cole Popovich working on the offensive line. The other coach is Carmen Brasillo. So thanks to at Dice Coda for helping me out with that. That is the other offensive line coach. But I just want your general thoughts about this team. How do you feel? Especially given the circumstances of, you know, what they had to go through early on in the season and, you know, what you might have thought they would look like with Cam and the offense and all that kind of stuff. I do want your thoughts on the field product. I'll also take your phone calls and texts on COVID. And listen, I know some people get annoyed or irritated that we talk about COVID-19. Honestly, we have to. If you think I got into sports radio because I wanted to break down infectious diseases, no, I didn't. If I wanted to break down infectious diseases, I would have become an epidemiologist. Although I probably wouldn't have been able to. Wasn't great at math. Probably wouldn't like a lot of those things that I would have to study. I digress. I'm talking about this because it's a global pandemic that we're living through right now, and it is affecting, whether you like it or not, every sport. It would be irresponsible, disingenuous, and ignorant of me to not address one of the biggest effects going on right now to our sporting lives. So I couldn't care less about, you know, your personal opinion on, you know, all this other stuff that people want to get into. I'm looking at this from the NFL angle today, and I think they've been reactionary. I think they could have handled this much better. I think they could continue to handle it much better. I think they could add a week 18, for example. I think they could have walked into this season and said, okay, we're going to have two or three bye weeks this year versus only one bye week. But they wanted to do what they always do. While every other sports league changed something about their season, the NFL has been steadfast. And I just wonder what this is going to look like once we get to like week 12 or 13 when teams don't have bye weeks anymore, the late fall, early winter, COVID cases and flu cases start bumping up. And eventually, I think it's inevitable that the NFL is going to have to add at least 1 week to the season. And by the way, I don't know why you wouldn't do that just to be safe, just in case. But they are fixated on reacting day to day to this. And I think some things, obviously, you do have to react day to day because it's a pandemic and it's fluid. But there are a number of things the NFL could have done up to this point, and a number of things that they could continue to do to make this situation better, or at least try to manage it a little bit better without the inside chaos. And I'm not talking about chaos as far as cases and teams having to shut down. I've said this repeatedly today. There's not a fire in the NFL. You know, there's been one outbreak with Tennessee, but I think they would do themselves a big favor if they were more proactive than they've been. And we're going to keep talking about it because it affects sports, whether you like it or not. I would love to go back to, you know, old school sports talk and break down the games and talk about nothing but on-field stuff, but that's just not the reality we live in. Hopefully, once we get through this crap, we'll be able to get back to that. Let me get back to that now, though, because I can do somewhat of a balance here, which I feel like we've done all day. I'll get to your thoughts on COVID. I'll get to your thoughts on the Pats through the first quarter of the season. Here is how I feel. They're 2-2, which is the record I expected. When you look at this schedule, right, you saw the game at Seattle. You figured that's probably going to be a loss, especially so early on in the year. Then you saw the game at Kansas City, and you said to yourself, well, they have an outside shot of winning that game, but most likely they're going to lose that game. Miami, they should beat them. Vegas, they should beat them. Here we are. They've lost to Seattle. They've lost to Kansas City. They've beaten Miami. They've beaten Vegas. But here's the difference between what I expected. And by the way, it's Hart and Cattles. No Andy Hart today. Too busy being a dad at a lacrosse tournament. So it's me solo, Sports Radio WEEI. But I would say the one thing about this team through the first quarter of their regular season is that they are more competitive, given the circumstances, than I expected them to be. Cam Newton parachuting into this team, parachuting into the offense. We didn't really know what to expect from him. And I think he has exceeded expectations overall. I don't think he was very good against Vegas, especially in the first half. But I think he's been better than we expected. And they've been more competitive. You look at that Seattle game. That game, you're at the one-yard line with a chance to win. Kansas City, what happens if Hoyer doesn't puke on himself twice? What happens if they don't drop, you know, two interceptions? What happens if the officiating was better with the in-the-grasp BS that we saw? And even again, you know, so you see those games that even when we think they would lose, they've been competitive on the road. And I know there's no fans, but they've been competitive on the road. They were fans of Kansas City. Fighting and scrapping and clawing. Like, I love the character that I've seen from this team early on. I've seen the fight from this team. And that hasn't always been the case. Remember NFL Network special years ago when Belichick is standing on the sidelines with Brady and they're on the road and they're, like, losing. They're not playing well. And Belichick tells Brady, like, I just can't figure out this team. Like, I have not been able to figure out how to get this team to fight. I have not been able to figure out how to get through to this team. This team does not show the mental toughness that they need. As my guy Mick Foley would say, what, the testicular fortitude, they didn't show that. I think this team has that, and we've seen it already through the first four games. Now, inevitably, of course, because we're Boston, because we're talking about the Patriots, the inevitable question, the ultimate question is, can the Patriots contend? Can they be legitimate contenders? And I saw a very interesting quote from Dante Scarnecchia to the Boston Herald this week. If Newton can stay healthy, Scarnecchia says the rest of the league better watch out. Here's what he told the Herald. Quote, to Cam's credit and his skill set, it seems to be that he's being very wise not trying to run through defenders. Sliding when you got to slide, getting out of bounds when you have to get out of bounds. I think it's an important part of the equation because they need him. He's got to stay out there. If he does, here's the key. They can beat anybody. That's what Scarnecchia says. The Patriots, they have the team that could beat anybody. Quote, I think the quarterback has helped a great deal. The way they're running the ball is unbelievable. Averaging 180 yards a game is extraordinary. They've done a great job. They certainly have a very capable team. You can sit there and wring your hands and say, woe is me, or you can start solving problems, and they've chosen to solve problems. I think that's one trait you absolutely have to have in this profession. So Scarnecchia, echoing what I just mentioned, the mental toughness, the testicular fortitude, the desire to go out there and play hard every single snap, they have that. And I honestly think they are who I thought they were. Maybe a little bit more competitive earlier in the season than I expected, but I was actually one of those guys after Cam Newton came onto this roster that said I thought they would win 10 games. I thought this was a 10-6 team. I thought at worst they'd be 9-7. At best they'd be 11-5, right in that general vicinity. But I'm not surprised that this team could finish 10-6. I'm not surprised that this team could actually win the division, depending on what happens with Buffalo. Now, I said at the beginning of the year, Cam Newton, if he's healthy, is a top 10-12 quarterback in this league. He's a top 10-12 quarterback in the league if he's healthy. And so far, I think he's been that guy. So if you have a healthy Cam through 16 games, winning 10 games, I mean, I don't think that's an especially crazy take. The Patriots also have a top 10 offensive line. I mean, let's not get it twisted. That offensive line has done some work. You look back, think about it, right? In that Kansas City game, they are without three of their starting offensive linemen by the middle of the first quarter. What would that have looked like in past years? Well, sometimes you'd feel okay about it, somewhat okay. Other times you'd say unmitigated disaster, a dumpster fire on the offensive line. You'd be screaming from the mountaintops. This offensive line sucks. They have no depth. They lost three starters, right? Andrews was out. Mason was out. Illuminor left during the game because of a migraine. And what happened? Offensive line played just fine. They've got a top 10 offensive line. Michael Onwenu has been unbelievable so far this year. They have a dynamic run game, which is something that I expected them to have with a healthy Cam. He adds that different element. I've called him a unicorn. You can't game plan for everything that Cam can do. It's like Lamar Jackson. They're different kind of athletes. They're different kinds of frames, but it's the same idea. You can go into a game saying we're going to stop Lamar Jackson running the football, but every once in a while he's going to catch you because he's a unicorn. You can go in saying to yourself we're going to stop Cam doing this. Every once in a while, though, Cam's going to get you because he's a unicorn. When a unicorn walks into the room, we go, oh, unicorn. That's why that's what he is. Dynamic run game. There's a reason why we call cats unicorns, because there's not many of them. And when they walk into that room, you know that they are one of those. They also have a top secondary. This secondary has elite ability. Look at what they did to Kansas City. Now, I think their pass rush has been inconsistent. Winovich has been fantastic, but I think they need a more consistent pass rush aside from just Winovich. And I would also say this, the last caller we had brought up the idea of Belichick. You know, he's more into the idea now than ever that Belichick is, the reason why they've been so successful the past two decades, et cetera, et cetera. And, that's something we brought up on the show before this season kicked off. The Patriots have an edge with Belichick during a pandemic. They've got Belichick during a pandemic, and what we know is Belichick has this unbelievable ability to adjust on the fly. He has this ability to slow things down and figure them out. He has this ability to be so detail-oriented that he is almost ready for almost every situation. And because of the Patriots coaching staff, they go into games most weeks with the upper hand from the coaching point of view. So Belichick, during a pandemic, he has done what I expected him to do. He's been better than many of the guys across the field from him. And by the way, I would also say this. Kansas City and Baltimore, I think they are still the class of the AFC. Maybe Tennessee is knocking on that door, but they are beatable. All right, let's get to your call. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Nick in Dover. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I'm on my way into work right now. I got to cut this short.
Sure.
You hit the nail right on the head. We do have to talk about COVID because this nation isn't just divided in two. It's divided into 50 different ways when you're talking about COVID. The governors vary from state to state. It's unfair that some teams can have fans, some teams cannot. However, you know what? When it comes down, in the end, Bill is the real GOAT. Bill Belichick is laying in the weeds, man. He's holding his cards. He is going to drop his cards when he knows he's going to put a team out there that will contend all the way to the very end with what limited resources he may have. But I'm walking the door to work right now. Thanks for putting me on so quick. This is Nick from Dover with your tip for the day.
All right, Nick in Dover, thank you. Let's go to Rhode Island, my old stomping grounds. I grew up in Rhode Island, spent 30-plus years here, went to URI. By the way, I'm just going to give an opinion that not many people care about. It's going to be 10 seconds. URI, Providence College, not playing college basketball this year is a travesty, and I put it all on Providence College. Figure it out. All right, let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, Cattles, URI grad here too as well.
Nice, nice, thing, baby.
I played golf at University of Rhode Island. They recruited me. They took me to the URI PC game in 1993, and they took me to Twin Oaks. And I've been going ever since. And I'm kind of like I take my daughter to the game, and you know, it kind of sucks. But it's definitely put that on PC. So I just want to move on to the NFL real quick. You brought it up. And I just don't understand how people think that the NFL did a good job in putting out these guidelines. It's almost like, you know, I don't like Goodell personally, but let's keep this professionally. I think he's done a horrible job. It's like he wrote down a couple things on a bar napkin, and he's like, yeah, we're all set. We're all done. You know, bringing up the locker room in Kansas City, right? It's like, go to every stadium and see if you have enough room before the season starts to house a visiting team, an NFL team, right?
Yep.
So the Patriots have a positive test, so they make a request that they need more space, and the NFL's like, oh, request denied. Like you said, like, it's kind of weird. It's also, like, ridiculous, right? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're making a trip in one day that's never been done in NFL history, flying out, playing a game, and flying back, and you won't give us some extra space? No. There's something fishy about that. But let me just transition real quick into what I think about the Patriots.
Yep.
If this makes any sense to you, I think we can beat anyone in the NFL. But I also think, like, with a game like tomorrow in Denver, like playing against Denver, we could lose anyone in the NFL, too. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Matt, let me jump in. We're up against it here, buddy. I appreciate the phone call. You know, it's an interesting take about being able to lose to any team. Here's what I would say to that. You know, this is such a strange year. Like, I think we have to embrace the idea that there's almost a take this with a grain of salt kind of deal. And I'm not saying that you excuse everything. But I think we have to have reasonable expectations given the circumstances. I would expect, and I'll talk about the Broncos versus the Pats, you know, in about 15, 20 minutes from now. But when you look at that game, I think many of us would say, likely a double-digit game. Patriots should, you know, win that game. They should win it somewhat comfortably. I don't know, though. You know, we can only try to predict it. And if all my predictions were right, I'd be living in Vegas worth $1 billion not talking with you guys. I'd be sitting back, you know, drinking beers at like 10:30 in the morning with my wife nearby a pool betting games all day. So we can only predict. But this year, it's just so difficult because, listen, this is the Patriots are going to have, what, one or two practices this week? And you go into the game, so you don't know. Like, Cam hasn't played a game now in 2 or 3 weeks. You don't know what he's going to look like. So this COVID-19 thing that teams are dealing with week to week, even day to day, minute to minute, As Belichick said, you know, last week, and people were getting on him. Oh, you know, some people were, oh, you know, Belichick, you know, evading things, you know, it's day by day, hour by hour. No, he's being honest. Like right now, if you're in the NFL, if you're a team, it's hour by hour. It's like minute by minute. So, you know, we can only predict what might end up happening. But this year, it's so difficult to do that and be right consistently because of the circumstances. We don't know how a team is going to react practicing one day that week. We don't know how a team is going to handle, you know, a starting quarterback that's been out for a couple of weeks and then jumping right back in the day before the game. Like, we don't know how that's going to be handled. Now, we can look at the Patriots and be somewhat confident that Belichick will handle it the right way and he'll handle it better than others. But ultimately, we really don't know. It's honestly a week-to-week kind of thing, given what the teams have been going through. All right, I've been talking a lot about the Patriots, but I've got to get some Bruins things off my chest. I've got one simple question for all of you. What the hell is Don Sweeney doing? That's next on Heart and Cattles, No Heart, Sports Radio WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're right back to Hard and Cattles on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps.
Yeah,
and
so
the
we've been all Patriots up all until this insane point, but I've got to give you all a solid 5 to 10 minutes of my Bruins thoughts, and mostly my Don Sweeney thoughts. What's going on right now with the Bees? So here's a quick extended version of a hockey minute for you. And then we'll get right back to the Patriots in the top of the hour and look at that game coming up tomorrow. We've got Ben Volen coming up in about a half hour as well. And we're going to end the show with the one thing that I've actually wanted to talk about the most today. I can't wait to talk about it at the end of the show. I've been, and Brian's been waiting too. It's going to be a lot of fun. Incredible audio for you. But right now, let me hone in on the Bruins. I want to be fair to the Bruins. I want to point out the obvious, but I feel like some people don't do this before they eviscerate somebody or eviscerate an organization. The offseason is not over. Brian, is the offseason over?
Technically, no.
No. I like how he said
technically. It might as well be, though, for them.
I like how he said technically. The offseason is not over, okay? So something might happen a couple of weeks from now. Something might happen a couple of hours from now. Shoot, something might happen a couple of minutes from now. So I want to put that out there first to be fair. Now I can eviscerate them. Torey Krug goes to St. Louis for $6.5 million a year. Is that huge money? No, not huge money. Could they have afforded that contract? Yes. They could have signed Krug to that deal if they wanted Krug. Fine. You don't want Krug. I get it. You don't want to pay him $6.5 million a year. You want to let him go to St. Louis. Okay, that's your decision. That's the decision that you have made. Don Sweeney, I get it. Okay, you called the shot. Let's move on. So Krug goes to St. Louis. Zdeno Chara is literally salivating at coming back to Boston for one more year. He's on the record. He wants to do that. He's wanted to do that every single year. At the end of the season, he said he did not want to retire. He feels like he still has at least 1 year left. Now he is telling us through his agent that he's exploring all options. Okay, fine. Okay. I get it. Sweeney might not want to bring him back. Yo, he's, what, 43, 44 years old. He's not the same guy that we've seen over the past 100 years on the blue line. He doesn't take as many shots. He doesn't let go of those lasers as much as he used to. He's obviously even slower than he's been throughout his career because he's a big dude and he's getting older. He's not going to give you 20 minutes a night. He's probably going to give you more, you know, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 minutes. He can play some of the penalty kill. Okay, though. Yeah, he's getting older. All right. So, Chara, thank you for your service. Maybe you end up somewhere else. Okay, Sweeney, I'll give you that one. So now I've given you Krug and I've given you Chara. Alex Pietrangelo. Now, Pietrangelo, here's the thing with him. He goes to Vegas. Sweeney comes out and says that he doesn't really fit with this team. He would not be the kind of guy that would, you know, they don't really have a spot for him. Or, you know, it's not really the role and all that. Maybe he's talking about it because Pietrangelo is a right shot. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Maybe he's talking about the contract that he signed, which is pretty much untradeable with Vegas. Okay, so I'll give you him too. So Pietrangelo, Chara, Krug. I've given Don Sweeney all three of those guys. I've given Sweeney, even though I shouldn't, I've given him the benefit of the doubt, all three of those guys. Okay? Now let's move on because there's even more names. How about the defensemen that were available, okay? How about the Islanders trading Devin Taves to Colorado for 2 second-round picks? Taves is a top four defenseman. He's a restricted free agent, so the money shouldn't be obnoxious. He's 26 years old. 2 second-round picks. Bruins, not after that guy, so they miss on Taves. How about Erik Gustafsson? Now, I know that he struggled. I know that he struggled this past year compared to what he did 2 years ago when he had 60 points. But why don't you go after Gustafsson, who signed a one-year, $3 million deal with Philadelphia? Cheap money. Short term. Maybe, just maybe, Don, you would hit on the lottery ticket, and maybe Gustafsson would look like the guy he was 2 years ago instead of who he was this past year. It's a one-year deal on short money. Nope, you don't do that either. How about Nate Schmidt? How about Nate Schmidt, who was available? He was out there. Our guy Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, wrote about Schmidt. Registered at least 30 points in each of the last 3 years. Played at least 21 minutes per game in each of those three seasons as well. Kills penalties. Played on Vegas's second power play unit. Has played more on the right side recently, but has also played on the left in the past. What about Nate Schmidt? Oh, no. No, Schmidt gets, you know, he gets traded. He gets traded for a third-round pick. 29 years old. He signed, sealed, and done than Torrey Krug was going to make. Less years than Krug. Third-round pick in return. But nope. Let him go to Vancouver. So, not Krug. Not Chara. Not Pietrangelo. Not Taves. Not Gustafsson. Not Schmidt. How about OEL? Oh, no, we didn't. No. We didn't go hard after him either. Because reportedly, we thought the price was too high. So we didn't want to go after OEL either. Which, by the way, the fact that the Bruins were in on the talks, the fact that they were in on the talks tells you what? It tells you that they see that they have a need. You're not talking about Ekman-Larsson unless you have identified the need, which we have all identified because Krug is not there. Chara is too old. So if we have all identified a need for a left shot defenseman in the top two pairings that you have, then what's happening right now? So you don't get OEL. What's the plan, Don? What's the plan? I know we could talk about things they've done, Zboril and all that. Maybe they're going to sit there and bank on the young talent. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe they'll move Grizzlick up a Band-Aid. I like Grizzlick. I don't think he's your long-term solution in the top two pairing. So maybe they'll move up Grizzlick. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they'll try to rush Vakanainen in. He's shown flashes. He has shown flashes that look like he could be a part of a top two pairing. but he has not had those flashes consistently. So maybe you're going to try to rush Vaakanainen. I don't know. Maybe they're in on somebody who's an unknown. Possibly. But here's the thing. You have a finite window right now. You're already dealing with Pasternak's injury and surgery. You're already dealing with Marshy's injury and surgery. McAvoy had a scope. He should be fine. Krejci's 34. Rask is in his 30s. Bergeron's in his 30s. You have a limited window. You've got about, what, a year or maybe two, and you need to upgrade. You need to get better. So what is the plan, Don? Do you have a plan? I'm sick and tired of seeing this team be a bridesmaid. Sick and, if I have to read another story about the Bruins being in on somebody and they swing and miss on that dude, I'm going to throw furniture across my place. Be aggressive. Get a deal done. Or no, we'll wait. We'll wait until the trading deadline, and then you'll give up assets for people who don't help the team like Richie. What are we doing?
Not to mention their top need is a top six right wing, which they have needed for about 6 years now.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can cross our fingers. You know, they added Craig Smith. And by the way, I like the addition of Smith. I like him. I think he's a third line guy, though. I think he goes on Coyle's line. But I like him. 20 goals a year. He takes a lot of shots. He's good 5-on-5. I'm fine with the Smith signing. Fine with that.
But he's not. But he can be a top six. He can be a top six. But on a championship team, he's not. If you want to win a Stanley Cup, you need three lines that can score. And look back at the 2011 Bruins. Your third line was Peverly, Kelly, and Ryder. They're all 20-goal scorers. So to call Craig Smith a third liner because he's a 20-goal scorer is not an insult. That's what you need on a Stanley Cup championship winning team.
Correct. He can play on the second line. You can move him up and give him some shifts. But you don't necessarily want him to be your second line right wing guy 82 games. You might be able to throw him up there a few shifts. But he third line is perfect. It's fine. Good. I'm okay with it. Now, if they add Hoffman, because it's really down to Hoffman. There's really nobody else. That's it. That is it for the Bruins. That's pretty much the option when you talk about free agency right now. Mike Hoffman is the last guy that you could, you know, that you could take. Maybe there's a trade that we don't know about. I don't know. Maybe Tyler Johnson becomes available and something happens crazy there because the Lightning are up against the cap and all that good stuff. Hoffman is reportedly considering taking a one-year deal. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating because this team has talent. And hopefully they'll be healthy enough once you get into February or March, if the season starts January 1st. They have an obvious need on the blue line. They have an obvious need, as Brian just brought up. They need a legitimate second line right wing. And you see all of these names falling off the board. The Bruins have cap space. The Bruins have some pieces they can deal. The Bruins have been in on these talks reportedly over and over and over again. It's not good enough to be in the conversation. You've got to complete some of these deals. And yes, I'm a little freaking irritated.
But also, Nick, the biggest reason that people are frustrated is because there's a lack of movement, but that wouldn't be such a need if they're drafting and developing over the last 5-6 years was any better than it has been. Because, look, hindsight's 2020, the 2015 draft where you could have had Barzell, Connor, Shabbat, Brock Besser. Look,
You're not making my irritation better, Brian. Mistakes You're not making me feel better.
I know. Mistakes happen. It is what it is. But to reach on Seneshin, I mean, DeBrusque is inconsistent. And then Zabor, who they just signed to a two-year deal, hasn't even played a game, I don't think, in the NHL. Maybe five at most. And aside from Jack Stanica, there's no promising prospects, at least up front. And so when you're looking at this window, it's like, well, the future is not very bright when it comes to prospects. So you need to win now. Because, first of all, 2019 was probably their true last chance. And for those people saying, oh, well, you know, their forward depth is better than it was this time last year. All right, that's great. But they got essentially swept by Tampa. They weren't good enough this year, despite the President's Trophy.
And listen, and they're also, again, dealing with two major injuries, two significant surgeries on the top line. Bergeron's not getting any younger. None of us are. Krejci's not getting any younger. And every day, week, month that goes by, it hurts this team. They're aging. They've got an aging core. They have to supplement this team. They're not good enough. All right, we're going to get back to the Patriots. That's coming up next, Sports Radio WEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.